Birders in Wisconsin were all a-Twitter about a rare bird sighting last week. What was the Oklahoma state bird, the scissor-tailed flycatcher, doing in Wisconsin anyway? We'll find out. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 6th. It's election day, finally. No politicking allowed on the show today. You've had enough of that anyway. Go vote and pull up a seat and listen to the election results on Wisconsin Public Radio tonight, and then we'll talk about the results all morning long tomorrow morning. But this hour and this morning, we are going to talk about other subjects, like birding. We'll talk about what bird watchers are watching these days in Wisconsin. What are you seeing, and where are you seeing it? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or, of course, tweet us on Twitter, at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Andy Paulius. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being here. So what is the Oklahoma state bird, the scissor-tailed flycatcher, doing in Wisconsin?
He's severely lost, probably. Every year we get the birders get very excited, especially often in the late fall to find birds that wander out of their range, and that gets people very excited about finding new things every year. And scissor-tailed flycatchers are one of those birds that are spectacular in their own right. And when you can find one in early November in your winter coat, it's even more exciting.
Very beautiful bird, and we have a video that a birder shot and posted on a Facebook site that is on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to take a look and a listen at the scissor-tailed flycatcher spotted last week in Ozaukee County, I believe. Do you know if it's still there?
Right. I don't know if anyone saw it yesterday. They often will hang around for 3 or 4 days, but just depending on the winds and how cold it gets at night and stuff like that, he might keep moving on.
Well, I'm sorry I missed him. Speaking of the winds, I noticed on this Wisconsin Birding Facebook page, people have all sorts of photos of different sightings of birds that they're seeing all over the state of Wisconsin. And someone mentioned, oh, cool, is that a hurricane bird? And I assume they meant, is that a bird that maybe was blown in by the winds of Hurricane Sandy? Are we seeing that at all?
The way Sandy worked out, we did get some pretty good north winds on the backside of the hurricane, but really Michigan and then the states to the east, all the way across the eastern seaboard, saw all kinds of unusual sightings. So I know Michigan on the Great Lakes had more oceanic birds that would show up, some of the alcids and other seabirds. And I know a lot of those seabirds got blown out of the ocean pretty far inland throughout the northeast states. And I'm sure I've seen some of the reports that I'm sure it's been keeping some of the rehabbers busy, because a lot of those birds, of course, aren't capable of,
right,
of making it in somebody's backyard. I saw a report or two that people were picking up some of the storm petrels and different birds in their front yards and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that's very sad, certainly. But we don't know of the winds pushing birds off their migration route into Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think I think we are just a little bit too far west for anything major like that. But we have had, it has been a little bit of a different year this fall. I mean, in September, we had a lot of fairly strong west-northwest winds. And I know a lot of birders were reporting some species in September that were here in higher abundance. A lot of the sort of central U.S. sparrows and that sort of thing. But that's the great thing about birding. You never know what you're going to find. You might go out one day in early November with your winter coat on and find a scissor-tailed flycatcher, or you might just be excited to watch the sparrows fight over your sunflower seeds in the backyard.
So. Yeah, very nice. Another bird I saw posted was the snowy owl, and I want to see a snowy owl. I think that would be so cool. They're such a beautiful bird. And I understand that downtown Madison, right here near Vilas Hall, where Wisconsin Public Radio is, just this weekend, people were seeing a snowy owl.
Yeah, I think it was Sunday night. There was a snowy owl actually hanging out in somebody's backyard just off of Monona Bay here, right downtown, which, you know, that's probably the last thing you expect to see when you look out your back door is a snowy owl sitting in your spruce tree. But, yeah, last year was one of our best years in recent memory for snowy owls. It was a big eruption year, and there were, some of the listeners might remember, just over the Thanksgiving weekend, there were snowy owls reported from the majority of the counties all across the state. And this year already, I think we've had four or five reports. Most of the reports have been on the Lake Michigan shoreline. They tend to like to spend the winter in the harbors there, like Sheboygan or Manitowoc or Milwaukee, because they can find easy pickings, the ducks or the water birds or some of the rats that we probably don't like to admit live in the harbors. But it looks like this could, but that usually happens at the end of November, so it looks like maybe we could be in for another good snowy owl year.
Well, Amanda Magnus, my producer, director, is standing by with a book called The Bird Bible, and she's got all sorts of audio from different birds, and I know that she can let us hear what the snowy owl sounds like. That sounds like a dog, almost.
Yeah, it's probably not a sound you're going to hear often in Wisconsin, because, of course, snowy owls nest pretty much at the top of the world in the Arctic. Yeah, definitely the owls in general have all kinds of weird, amazing calls and seem to really fascinate people in general.
And you said that last year, and I remember that, a boom of snowy owls in Wisconsin. You said it was an eruption year. What does that mean?
Yeah, we use the term eruption for species that don't have regular migration patterns. And they tend to have sort of boom and bust years on their breeding season. And then when food gets limited or when they have lots and lots of chicks, you get years where they're seemingly everywhere, and then there's other years where it's really, really hard to find a snowy owl in the state. So,
now, on this Facebook page with the photo of the snowy owl, which I also posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page with photo credit, someone mentioned, "Hey birders, the homeowner is a little bit freaked by all these birders showing up and tromping through the backyard to take a look at this owl," and I guess it's. The birding community is kind of cool because, you know, you get the word out and then everybody will show up and look at this rare sighting or this this bird that everybody wants to see. But you really probably shouldn't walk through someone's private backyard to look at a bird.
Right. Yeah. There's sort of a few basic good neighbor rules that all the birders probably should follow. But I think snowy owls and other really rare birds sort of sometimes bring out the worst in birders. And yesterday it was sort of a bad day in downtown Madison to be walking through people's backyards with binoculars because the Secret Service was all over downtown Madison for another rally. So
that's right. And you mentioned that the snowy owl that was hanging out around downtown Madison might have found a different place to hang out because of the helicopters and the commotion.
Yeah, it could be. But he or she, I can't remember if it was a male or female, could easily still be around. We've had years downtown where snowy owls have sort of lived the whole winter in downtown Madison and often would roost up on the construction cranes or up on tops of buildings. So if you're in Madison or check out your own area in the next month, snowies typically like to be out in wide open agricultural fields or grasslands, but there's plenty of good eating downtown as well.
All right, so the snowy owl might be a possible sighting at this time of year. The scissor-tailed flycatcher maybe has moved on. But what is another popular or common sighting this time of year?
Well, this time of year is a is a really good time to go to larger lakes or river systems and look for migrating waterfowl or waterbirds. I just led a field trip last Friday for the Natural Resources Foundation to the Upper Mississippi National Wildlife Refuge. And that right now, in the next 2 weeks, really is just a spectacular time to go over there, because you can see tundra swan numbers will start to build here, and you can see up to 20,000 tundra swans in a day.
Wow.
And of course, they have a spectacular sort of gregarious call that makes this really cool sort of background noise. And then right now, or last Friday, we saw probably 200,000 canvasback ducks, which is, you know, we might have seen in one day up to half of the world's canvasback ducks in a day. So it's a great time to go to places like that, or to Lake Michigan, or even a larger lake near you to see those sorts of birds.
We'll talk about some of the birds that we can see in Wisconsin during the fall migration, and we'll wonder what birds you are seeing at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
'Cause I like birds.
We are talking about birds this hour and birding in Wisconsin. We are not talking about politics because it is Election Day and we don't need any last-minute electioneering on Election Day. We hope, if you haven't already, you vote today and you tune in tonight on the Ideas Network for election night coverage. Our coverage will start at 7 o'clock, and we will also be talking about all of the results tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 here on the Joy Cardine Show. Right now, talking about birding in Wisconsin with Andy Paulios. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We welcome your questions for him. We welcome your own sightings at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a number of callers, so let's go to Dick in Bark River, Michigan. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Joy. Thank you. I'm not really a birder, but there are times where you can't help it. Like yesterday, Bark River is just north of Marinette, about 40 miles. Yesterday, I live at the end of a road, nearest neighbors, half mile away, two 40-acre hay fields, and there were a pair of mature bald eagles and this year's chicks. Actually quite large. They were all four wheeling around the hay fields. It was stop the truck and looked and watched for 4 or 5 minutes, and very nice thing to see. And I also noticed an eighth of a mile away a sentry crow in a dead elm. And sometimes, as your guest, you might know that crows, when they find a single bald eagle, will actually gang up on it and chase it. And one other thing...
Well, wait a minute, Dick. Crows will chase a bald eagle, Andy?
Yeah, crows are, of course, very intelligent birds, sometimes to our chagrin. And, yeah, they will often alert a lot of the other crows in the area to other raptors. It might be a bald eagle, red-tailed hawk, great horned owls. And often will chase them, or sometimes get chased themselves.
But. Yeah, and they're just trying to chase it out of their territory or something.
I think the idea probably is, I haven't talked to the crows about this, but
but I mean, they're not trying to eat the crow.
No,
the eagle.
No, I think the idea is that most birds, chickadees will do this to raptors too. Is if everybody kind of knows that the predator is there, it's easier to stay safe, rather than allowing the predator to sneak up on you.
Now, Dick saw some eagles, too, and so did Teresa on Facebook. She says, recently, I've been seeing more and more bald eagles in and around town. She lives in Chippewa Falls, I believe. Does this mean that they're nesting in town, expanding their territory, or both? Also, a few weekends ago, when I was at a camp we saw three bald eagles flying together. I was told it was super rare to see three at a time, so I wonder, maybe it was a mama, a papa, and an almost grown eaglet. What about the babies? Are they still with mom and dad right now?
They could be. They fledge, they leave the nest pretty early. Bald eagles in Wisconsin can start nesting in even late January in southern Wisconsin. So they've left the nest, and they're pretty much fully grown when they leave the nest. Eagles that look different sized you're probably seeing a male versus a female. The males are smaller than the females. But eagles are doing extremely well all across North America for a number of reasons. And right now is a great time to see eagles because a lot of the Alaskan and boreal nesting eagles are all migrating through. So if you follow the Hawk Ridge webpage or any of these big raptor monitoring sites, we're in peak eagle season right now. So if you can get out on a nice sunny day with lots of thermals and a little bit of a west or a north wind, you can really see a lot of eagles. In fact, last Friday on the Mississippi River, it's probably not unusual to see 100, 200 eagles in a day if you just sort of drive around and check things out.
Great. I've seen some eagles. Let's take a listen to an eagle. So what's he saying, Andy?
free lunch. Yeah. Eagles actually kind of have, if you watch... Birders are notorious for watching TV and telling people that they're using the wrong bird calls. But if you notice on TV a lot, they'll use the scream of a red-tailed hawk for the bald eagle instead of the sort of high-pitched, threatening call of a red-tailed hawk.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bird Bible is from Cornell, if I'm not mistaken, and I think they're pretty reputable.
Yep.
Yeah, so, Teresa was saying, so they're just doing well. The fact that bald eagles are in and around a community, an urban area, is that weird?
Not unusual at all, especially if there's water. So mm-hmm. Chippewa Falls has the Chippewa River running through it, and they very well, I'm not 100% certain, but they very well could nest up and down the Chippewa River. And certainly with this time of year, eagles they scavenge, but they also eat fish, live fish. So Chippewa River is probably a great place to hunt.
Yeah, and I know that there are bald eagle days in Prairie du Sac in January every year because of the open water of the Wisconsin River. So some of those eagles hang out here all year round.
Yep. In fact, for a number of reasons, eagles in general that nest on territories in Wisconsin have even started all across northern Wisconsin staying on their territories year-round. So whether it's because of the warmer winters, or whether it's because there's a little bit more food, or whether it's because there's now so many eagles that they're really they're pressured to stay close to their territory so they don't lose it to another eagle. So, you can... It's 40 years ago, you'd have never seen an eagle in Rhinelander in the winter, and now it's not unusual to see quite a few.
So, what are you seeing? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org as we talk about birds and the birds that we are seeing in Wisconsin during this time of year as they're migrating or settling for the winter, whatever. Tom in Mequon is with us. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I was raking leaves last night, and a barrow, B-A-R-R, was calling back and forth to me for about 10 minutes. there's quite a few where I live. I was wondering, last year I saw a little bit, and now this year quite a bit, a small nuthatch. It's smaller than the normal blue and white ones, and I'm not sure what it's called, but it's got like a little black stripe on his head, and it's real small and makes a really cute sound, and I'm wondering if that's going to stay the winter. And if I could, I have one last question about bird calling. I hear a lot about watching birds, but is there a group that is for bird callers?
Do you know if there's a bird caller group, Andy?
There are a number of ways you can sort of get feedback on bird calls. There are, believe it or not, there is a group now that has a listserv that just focuses on the flight calls that birds make at night. So
Very specific.
Very specific. So yeah, there are lots of bird calling experts. I think the typical birding listservs and birding Facebook groups are full of people who get into bird sounds. The nuthatch that he was speaking of is a red-breasted nuthatch, which is smaller than the white-breasted nuthatch. This year was in August. We had another. I'll use the term eruption again. They were sort of all over the place. I had a few in my backyard. And so they were leaving. They nest in the boreal forest and across northern Wisconsin. They need pines and spruces, and they love to pick apart the cones and eat seeds and insects. And
yeah. Is that the barred owl unusual?
Yeah, barred owls are, well, they're pretty common across Wisconsin. They're a cavity nesting owl, so they need big trees. But you can find them right here in downtown Madison at the Arboretum or some of the bigger parks that have big oak trees and that sort of stuff. And they have the sort of iconic who cooks for you all call.
Very cute.
A lot of us know.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about other birds. I know after the news, we'll talk about loons and how we can see a lot of loons these days and other birds that are migrating through Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter @JoyCardineShow. What are you seeing these days? What questions do you have? Maybe we'll talk some, too, about how we might be able to help out wild birds during the upcoming winter months. Our guest is Andy Paulias. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about little birdies and big birdies and birding of all kind in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, November 6th. Yes, it is Election Day, and yes, we are not talking about politics on purpose during this day. We are talking about birding this hour. We're going to be talking about movies and TV and popular culture after 7 o'clock, and it's financial advice during On Your Money after 8 o'clock. We're going to have election coverage starting at 7 o'clock tonight on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll talk about the election results with several guests tomorrow morning from 6 until 9. But we are taking a break from politics today and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest about birding in Wisconsin, or the birds that we see in Wisconsin during this time of year as our feathered friends are migrating south. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Andy Paulias. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And our next caller is John in Rhinelander. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning, Joy and Andy. I'm from Rhinelander, and I was out after dinner with my wife in our canoe on Boom Lake, and it was about dusk time, and there was two loons calling across the lake. And all of a sudden, we were out in the middle of the lake, and they came flying towards each other, and they're paddling their feet because they're just hovering over the lake. And they met together in one spot. They dove down, and they didn't come up for 1 minute. Now, are they going to make little loons, or were they just fishing?
Wait a minute. Let's see if it sounded like this. John, did it sound like this?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So was that a mating call or a hunting call?
Well, they weren't foraging. my coworker Mike Meyer, who's studied loons all his life, is going to kill me if I get this one wrong. But It's one of two things. It's either a courtship display where they might be running on the or at each other and then diving under, or it could be a territorial defense. But it sounds more. I'm guessing that it was a courtship display. I don't know which time of year John was out there, but if it was in the spring, that would be.
Was that just now, John?
It was in the spring.
Okay, in the spring. All right. Yeah, well, so maybe it was courtship. And did they came back up after a minute and all was fine?
Yep, and then they went both on their own ways.
Well.
Yeah, it could have been. It sounds like it might have been a territorial thing, but.
Because if they're recording, they might stay together.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that this is a super time to spot loons, especially in the Madison area.
Yeah, right now we're sort of just at the beginning of the big common loon migration movement. And my coworkers, Mike Meyer and some of the WBC partners like the USGS are doing a lot of cool research on Wisconsin and Minnesota's loons, and they've actually fitted them with little satellite transmitters and little geolocators to figure out just how they migrate and where they go. And right now they're going to be heading away from their territorial lake, their nesting lake, and heading to these big staging areas. And they'll group up on the Madison chain over the next 2 weeks. So this next week is a great time to, if you work in Madison or if you want to visit, come down and park at the Monona Terrace, and you can watch loons feed right along the break wall there. In fact, if you get up on the rooftop garden, you can actually see them dive underwater, which is really interesting. And the other big staging area that we've learned from this research is the Lake Michigan Basin. A lot of our loons and a lot of loons that nest from Alaska all the way across the boreal forest are really spending a few weeks on Lake Michigan, building up a lot of fat. And then from here, they pretty much fly all the way south to the Gulf Coast, and we've learned that they mostly winter on sort of the Florida-Alabama side of the Gulf Coast, which is lucky for our loons because they pretty much winter east of the oil spill area that happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, I remember there being a concern about that. Well, that's good to know. And the you mentioned, and it surprised me a little bit because I always think about loons in Wisconsin's Northwoods when I used to spend a lot of time in the Northwoods. You'd see maybe a pair on a nice lake up there. But we'll see more in Madison in the next couple of weeks probably than anybody in the Northwoods sees.
Yeah, if things work out right, I mean, you can drive around the Madison Lakes in the next week or so, and you might see 100 or 150 loons in a day, which is just, a neat thing to see this time of year.
Mm, neat. Pat from Lake Geneva wants to know, have the sandhill cranes migrated yet? I love to hear them flying high above while I'm out in my yard.
I'm sure a few have left. The majority of the sandhills now are sort of hanging out at these big staging areas like Crex Meadows or the Spring Green area. Right now I know is a good time to go see cranes during the day. Lower Wisconsin Riverway, Sandhill Wildlife Area. And they usually, the bulk of our sandhill cranes won't leave until these shallow marshes and even some of the river areas that they roost in will freeze. So I usually think of that sort of phenomenon that she's describing as happening a little bit closer to Thanksgiving.
Now, it's not the sandhill crane, but the whooping crane, the endangered whooping crane. They have that big spectacle of migration every fall. Has that happened yet?
Yeah, so there are two different cohorts of young cranes this year. The one cohort gets trained to migrate with the Operation Migration folks and the ultralight planes, and I haven't checked on where they are. I know they had been in Illinois for a while. And then another cohort of young cranes is raised and then released with sandhills and other whoopers at Horicon. And I saw over the weekend that those birds decided that this was the weekend to leave and headed down, I believe they're somewhere south of Chicago. If they've, I don't know if they know exactly where they are, but somewhere down there. So A couple of different strategies, and both groups are on the move right now.
That's very neat. Let's take a listen to the whoopers. But that whole migration, Operation Migration type thing is working?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Actually, both strategies seem to be working. When that project started, of course, we were very worried that we wouldn't be able to train them to fly to Florida and back again. And as it turns out, it works pretty well. The big issue now for whooping cranes in the state is just getting them to live long enough and gain the experience to nest successfully on their own. So, and I think there is still one chick from this year's nesting that is alive and hopefully will migrate and join the rest of the whoopers in the wintering grounds.
Well, okay, we've talked about a number of different birds so far this hour, but what else besides loons are going to be prevalent in Wisconsin in the next couple of weeks?
Well, this is a good time. I always think of November as a good time to start preparing for the Christmas bird count and some of the birds that spend the winter, of course, with us, like juncos and some of the resident birds. But it looks like this year is going to be a good year for a lot of the, we call them winter finches, or you could call them boreal birds, but things like red poles and siskins and purple finch and both of the crossbill species and even pine grosbeaks and bohemian waxwings. We think of those as birds, as a Wisconsin birder, that you need to sort of travel up to Eagle River or Duluth or something to see. But this year seems to be a good year for them. People have reported evening grosbeaks all the way down into Indiana. And then I know over the weekend, people here in Madison were finding red crossbills right here in downtown Madison. So
neat.
Those are the sorts of birds, of course, that birders get pretty excited about.
Yeah. What if I want to attract these birds to my backyard? Can I have success in doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the crossbills and some of the red-breasted nuthatches and the other sort of boreal birds, if you have spruce trees in your yards and some of the natural plantings, it's always a good bird attractor. But a lot of those birds are eating seeds in the winter, so if you feed birds, the red poles and the siskins and the finches all like thistle seed, or they really like, if you have a prairie planting in your yard, they really like to sort of forage all winter on the old goldenrods, or in my yard they really like the stiff goldenrod or the compass plants, any of those sort of big tall prairie plants. But there's a lot of those birds will come to feeders. And
yeah, neat. All right. What about my arborvita? Is that good enough, or do they want the spruce?
The arborvitas are good for roosting cover because it keeps them nice and warm, but there's not a lot of food on it. So if you have both, it's
okay.
Even better.
Let's take a call from Linnea in Brighton. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is this. I have a cardinal. He started last year. He was young. And this year, he's doing the same thing. He just crashes into our windows. And, I mean, it'll be like 10 times at a time. And it's not the same window. It's downstairs in the front, in the back. It's upstairs. And he just crashes into this window. And he's been doing it for 2 years. He took a little time off last winter, and then in the spring he started again.
Well, you know what, Linnea, I think I know what's going on here. Andy?
Yeah, he has way too much testosterone flowing through his veins. Yeah, a lot of, we get, that's not an unusual thing. Cardinals, we get a lot of reports at work about robins doing the same thing, especially in the spring. And it's just it's a territorial thing. Cardinals are permanent residents. They don't migrate. So he's probably trying to sort of maintain his territory all year round. And Really, the only sort of solution is if it's bothering you, is to cut down the reflection somehow in the window. So he's seeing himself in the window, and then of course trying to defend his territory from himself. So
Yeah.
So there's, you got to use your creativity.
Sometimes you can put stuff in your window. Maybe that might obstruct his reflection and that kind of thing.
Close the shades in that window for a little bit of time, but yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've done that, and he just goes, I have a lot of windows, and he just goes to another window. Yeah. He's relentless.
He's protecting his territory against that interloper, yeah?
Yes, it's probably not a good adaptive strategy to constantly bang your head against a window.
But. Yeah, I had a robin that was attacking my windows last spring, too, which was... it's amusing, but I hope they don't hurt themselves, you know. But anyway, thank you, Linnea. I guess hopefully he'll learn. You never know. Andy Paulius is our guest. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And we're talking about birding in Wisconsin and the birds that we see this time of year, the birds that are migrating, the birds that are going to stay here for the winter. Talking about some rare sightings recently in Wisconsin. Last week, the state bird of Oklahoma, the scissor-tailed flycatcher, was spotted. That was in southeastern Wisconsin. Lots of people are also reporting all sorts of other interesting sightings, and we're wondering what you're seeing lately or what questions you have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be cloudy and cool today. Rain and snow, yes, snow, are likely, especially in southern and eastern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the upper 30s to the upper 40s. There is a lingering chance of snow tonight with lows around 30 and turning sunny tomorrow with highs in the 40s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to a whippoorwill. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about birds in Wisconsin at this time of year. And Barney in Burlington is with us next. Hi, Barney.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to ask the question that no one can answer. For 20 years I've been asking it. Is now one's very fortunate to hear even one of these whippoorwills doing a voice in their unique call. Anywhere in the areas of the Upper Peninsula that's been years ago, 40 years ago, they kept you awake all night when you're camping up there. Now you're lucky, very fortunate to hear just one of them once a year, maybe.
Yeah, so something happened to the whippoorwill, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Whippoorwills have definitely declined in a lot of areas in the last 40-50 years. We certainly know that from lots and lots of stories like his. We are doing a statewide whippoorwill nightjar survey. My coworker Ryan Brady coordinates that, and we somehow convince 70 to 80 birders to go out on a moonlit night in June every year and count whippoorwills that they hear on roadside routes. And what we found in the last 5 or 6 years is that whippoorwills are still quite common and doing very well in the sandier forested landscapes. So if you want to go somewhere and hear lots and lots of whippoorwills, you can go to the Black River Falls area, Black River State Forest area, or northwest Wisconsin on the big sand plains there. And even up in like the Conover area or the Northeast Sands, so over towards Marinette. So the pattern sort of is they like these forested areas that aren't all forest and all dense forest. They need these open areas for hunting. And so I think what probably has happened in areas that they've declined is one of two things. In places like the UP that were maybe... whippoorwills were probably using places that were really intensively logged, so the big, larger clear cuts probably created habitat for them temporarily, and then it's possible that the forest has just grown older and thicker and more dense, and they don't really like that. And then I often get this question from folks who grew up in the Driftless area in southwest Wisconsin, and I think what's happened there is when we pulled a lot of the cows out of the woods and we lost a lot of the savanna, sort of open woodland, the habitat just isn't quite right for them anymore. But some of my coworkers are doing some great oak savanna, oak woodland restorations, even in the Southwest on private lands and public lands. And we do find that whippoorwills respond right away. And I think, if I remember right, this was one of the best whippoorwill years we've had. And we got reports of whippoorwills, for whatever reason, in really good numbers and in different places this year. So it's sort of a good news, bad news sort of story.
Barney, thank you so much for the call. Let's go next to Brian in Whitehall. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, good morning. I was wondering if the guest could tell me, I live in Trumbull County by the, between La Crosse and Eau Claire, and I haven't seen a red-headed woodpecker around here for close to 15, 20 years, and I was wondering if he could tell me the reason for the decline in the area.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in Trumbull County. I mean, western and southwestern Wisconsin is sort of the last stronghold of that bird. That's a bird that, for folks that are that grew up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s in Wisconsin, that was actually fairly common kind of backyard bird in rural areas. And again, it's one of those birds that likes these sort of open woodlands and savannas. So they actually forage on the ground, or they'll fly catch from trees. And so they really need open woodlands and savannas. And what's happened in a lot of our forests in southern Wisconsin is, again, we've pulled the cows out of the woods, or we don't have fire going through the woods always like we did 200 years ago. So you really need to sort of go to places that are that have sort of scattered patches of trees in sort of a more open landscape. And there are still good, really good places to see those. One of my favorite places to see red-headed woodpeckers is to go camp for the weekend at Wyalusing State Park or somewhere like that over there, and you'll definitely see red-headed woodpeckers. But I think there are good places in Trempealeau County, too, and certainly some good habitat restoration going on for that bird.
This is all good. We have very little time and lots of callers. Let's go to Scott in Buena Vista. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Just to let everybody know, there's a couple thousand sandhills out here right now, and lots of raptors migrating back. They're headed south right now. It's a great place to come and see birds if you want to see them.
And that's in central Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's South Stevens Point, east of Wisconsin Rapids. It's and tons of public land you can get out and walk around. And
very neat. Cranes and raptors. So, anything on that?
Yeah, and if you're lucky, that you might even see a prairie chicken. That's one of our prairie chicken areas.
Very quickly, someone on Facebook says the northwest winds moved millions of birds down the Mississippi and Central flyways last night, or maybe the night before last. Southern Wisconsin is at its peak right now for fall warbler diversity. Is that right?
It's pretty late for warblers. That was probably the first couple weeks of September, but definitely any night with good northwest winds here in the next couple of weeks, you'll get good migration.
Yeah. So what are you going to be looking for today or this week?
Well, I'd like to find that snowy owl, but I'm going to check my backyard probably for good birds and hopefully stay warm here.
Hey, do you have any other field trips coming up with your group?
I don't think through the Natural Resources Foundation. Check back with them in the spring, but there's great field trips through the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology and all the local Audubon chapters.
I want to go on one of these days. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Andy Paulios is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.